Amen. Well, let us just take a moment to still ourselves again in the Lord's presence as we come to consider his word this morning. We need his help. I need his help. So let us pray one with the other and pray one for another as we seek the Lord together. Heavenly Father, we thank thee that we can come to thee, the God of the book. And Lord, we do come and acknowledge, Lord, that we need thy help to consider thy word afresh this morning. Lord, we need thy help. We need thy power. We need thee, O God, to close us in now with thyself, to remove all of those distracting thoughts from our minds, those things which are not convenient for this time. O Lord, give each and every one of us receptive hearts and a teachable spirit. And Lord, may thy word come with freshness to us. We thank thee that it is a living word. We thank thee that it is not a stale word. It's not a dead word, but Lord, it is alive forevermore. Heaven and earth may pass away, but Lord, we bless thee that thy word will never pass away. It forever will remain. And Lord, I do ask to that end that, Lord, thou wouldst cleanse me afresh in the precious blood. O God, empty me of self and of sin. Fill me with God, the Holy Spirit, I do ask and pray. Because, Lord, I am not worthy for this task. I am not able in and of myself for this task. But, Lord, I bless thee that my sufficiency, it is of the Lord. And I pray that I would be hidden far behind the cross, and that our precious Saviour would receive all the glory, all the honour, and all the preeminence. For in Jesus' precious name we do ask and pray all these things. Amen. Amen. Well, it is the first verse of Psalm 116 that I want to leave with you this morning as I was thinking about the meeting this week. And there the psalmist says in Psalm 116, verse 1, he says, I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. It was the American missionary to Burma, Adoniram Judson, who once said that the motto of every Christian missionary, whether preacher or printer or schoolmaster, ought to be this: devoted for life. I'll read that again. He said the motto of every missionary, whether preacher, printer or schoolmaster, ought to be devoted for life. As we've read from this first verse of this psalm this morning, I believe we have here the theme of devotion. Because here the psalmist tells us very clearly and very explicitly that he loves the Lord. And as we think about devotion in our message this morning, I want us to think about this declaration of devotion. Because here the psalmist, he declares very clearly that he loves the Lord. He loves the Lord. Now, this psalm is part of a number of psalms in the book of Psalms, which are known as the Hallel Psalms. Now, that word Hallel in the Hebrew, it just basically means hallelujah. And so these psalms would have been sung, and this psalm in particular, it would have been sung during the festive occasions, especially when the children of Israel would have went up to the house of God during the Passover, whenever they would have partook of the lamb that was slain, as a remembrance of their sin, and for their sin to be needed to be taken away. And then they would have sung these psalms after that as well. Now, we're not told who the author, the penman of this psalm was, but I was wondering, how was it that he could make such a declaration? He says here very clearly, I love the Lord. Now, this just wasn't any person, but somebody who knew the Lord personally and intimately. And that's how you and I can say that we love someone, is that when we know them. We know them on a personal and on an intimate basis. We know all their faults. We know all the flaws. Sure, don't we have them all ourselves? But that doesn't hinder our love for them. And certainly whenever we think about the psalmist here, he loved the Lord because, first of all, the Lord loved him. And you know, brethren and sisters, we can say that today, that the Lord loves us. even though none of us deserves his love. None of us could ever do anything to merit the love of the Sovereign Lord. But here the psalmist tells us, and he opens the psalm by telling us this, that he loves the Lord. He was identifying himself as a child of God, as one who loved the Lord. Not somebody who had no interest or no concern or no desire for the Lord, but somebody who loved the Lord. Now what's interesting, this word love he uses here in this psalm, it is from a word in the Hebrew which is used to describe the love that Jonathan had with David, his friend. Speaking of a very intimate and a very close love, a close bond that those two men had. It is also used for the love that Jacob had for his son Joseph. And there, doesn't that, I feel, explain or open up to us a little more the meaning behind that word and the connotations of that word. How the psalmist here, he loved the Lord because he had that close, intimate relationship with him. I wonder, could that be said of you? Could that be said of me this morning? Do we have such a close and intimate relationship with the Lord that we would declare out and out, I love the Lord, that we love the Lord? You know, the commentator William Plummer said of this verse, he says, true love of God, or true love to God, it consists in a genuine delight in the divine character, in a sincere goodwill towards God and in his cause, and in heartfelt gratitude for his mercies. And there he explains that to have a true love for the Lord is founded upon the fact that we have that genuine delight in the character of the Lord, and we have that sincere goodwill towards him and towards his cause for us and his cause in this world, but also that we have gratitude, deep heartfelt gratitude for his mercies. We know the prophet Jeremiah tells us in the book of Lamentations that the Lord's mercies are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. And brethren and sisters, surely that's something every one of us can say. Every one of us are in the house of God today, in health and in strength, in our right minds, as it were. All well turned out this morning. The Lord has met all of our physical and our temporal and most of all our spiritual needs, and certainly the Lord has been good to us. The Lord is good to us every day that we have. But I believe here that this declaration of devotion from the psalmist, it came from a heart that was changed. Of course, we know that we're all born in sin, shapen in iniquity. And as the psalmist, before his conversion, before his coming to faith in the Lord, his heart needed to be changed. His heart, in a natural sense, and when he was born, it was born against God, just as every one of us were born into this world. But we can rejoice in the fact that the psalmist, there was a point in his life's experience when his heart was changed. I wonder, is that true of you today, my friend? Has your heart been changed? Is your soul saved by the grace of God? Can you identify yourself with the Lord and with his people? We see here that throughout the psalm, the psalmist, he speaks, and the words he uses here are evidence of a heart that has been changed, because he was one that not only declared his love for the Lord, but he was the one who declared of the, or he testified of the Lord's faithfulness to him, because he says here in verse number 4, he says, then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. And notice there what he says in verse 5, he says, gracious is the Lord and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. And there the psalmist could say he could love the Lord because the Lord was merciful to him. And certainly, brethren and sisters, is the Lord not merciful to us? Yet we fail him every day in thought, word, and deed. We sin against him, yet he has not dealt with us according to our sins. The psalmist, he had a changed heart, and the psalmist David, said in the Psalm 40, verse 3. And of course, David was a man who had a heart that was changed. And he could say in Psalm 40, verse 3, "And he," that's the Lord, "he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto your God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord." You see, David had the song of the soul set free. And you and I as believers today, we can sing the song of the redeemed. We can say that it is well with our souls. We can say, "Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through his infinite mercy. Praise God, his child, and forever I am." The psalmist, he had a changed heart. If you look with me there at verse number 7, he says, "Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee." Oh yes, the Lord's been merciful, but the Lord has dealt bountifully, and he does deal bountifully with each and every one of us as believers. And then if you look at verse 12 with me, he says, and he asks himself this question, he says, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me?" Oh yes, there's the mercies of God, there is the bounties of the Lord as well, but there is the benefits of the Lord as well. And how that the psalmist could say, as one who took the cup of salvation as a child of God, he says, "and called upon the name of the Lord." Or if you're in here today and you're not saved, oh, that you would be like the psalmist and have a heart that was changed. Oh, that you would call upon the name of the Lord here, as he says here in the verse 13. Perhaps you sat here for years, sat under gospel message after gospel message, and the ministers and other men who have stood where I'm standing have faithfully declared to you your need of salvation, your need to be born again, but yet today still finds you outside of Christ. Thank God we have the Lord which is merciful, a God which gives us bounties, which gives us benefits. And here you are again, another recipient of the grace and the benefits of God, to be under the sound of the Word of God, to hear a preacher declaring and pleading with you to come to Christ if you're not saved, and that you, like the psalmist, would have that changed heart. But I believe also he had this, or made this declaration of devotion from a heart that was confessing, because he confesses here, "I love the Lord," and he wasn't ashamed about it. You know, our brother Barry mentioned about that parade yesterday. And we could see as we stood for truth and righteousness in that open air, you know, people shouting and roaring and declaring their love for their sin. But here was a man of God, the psalmist, who was not ashamed. And he says, "I love the Lord." I wonder, would you have such boldness, brethren and sisters? Would I have such boldness to say, "I love the Lord"? I love the Lord, like he does here. And here he confesses his love. He wasn't ashamed about identifying himself with the Lord. You know, the hymn writer says, "I'm not ashamed to own my Lord, or to defend his cause, maintain the honor of his word, the glory of his cross. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and that burden of my heart, it rolled away, and there by faith I received my sight, and now I'm happy all the day." The psalmist here was a man who was happy because he had the Lord, and he could say, "I love the Lord." You know, the Apostle Paul tells us in Romans chapter 10, in the verse 9, he says, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." And of course, as believers, we are to confess the Lord. We are to confess that we are children of God, that we are those who have Christ as our Lord and Savior. And this is what the psalmist was doing. He was confessing the Lord to be his. And he says how he felt about the Lord. He says, "I love the Lord." Then we read earlier from 1 John chapter 3. If you turn back with me there, please, to 1 John chapter 3. First John chapter 3 in the verse 1. And there the Apostle John says, "Behold, What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. And you know, as believers this morning, we can identify with what John says here. Because as children of God, we can say, behold, or look, pay attention to this great exhibition, this great demonstration of love. Of course, we know that the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, that God commendeth his love, or he exhibits his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And we love to declare the fact that Christ died for sinners, and that Christ died for you and for me, brethren and sisters. And there John says, behold, what manner of love. Can you hear what he's trying to speak from the depths here of the greatness of this love that he has experienced? And I feel that that is something that the psalmist is getting across here, and how he feels about his Lord. He says, I love the Lord. And it was, of course, because of the grace of God in the psalmist's life that he could say, I love the Lord. Because a work of grace had been done in his heart. He had been brought from being an enemy of the Lord to being a child of God, a child of darkness to a child of the light, and he could say that he loves the Lord. And certainly we can say, brethren and sisters, that we love the Lord Jesus Christ. As John tells us in 1 John 4, verse 19, we love him. Why? Because he first loved us. You see, God set his love upon us in eternity. And the Father gave each and every one of us to his Son to come into this world and to go to the cross and there to redeem us from our sins. You remember what Jesus said? He said, all that the Father giveth to me shall come to me. And him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. There you go, sinner. There's another invitation for you to come. Jesus said, all that the Father giveth to me shall come to me, and him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Come to him today, while that offer of mercy is still open, while that invitation is still there for you, and while God in his mercy is still pleading and calling for sinners to come unto him. We see here the declaration of the psalmist's devotion. You know, it's often been said that you can tell by the attendance at a church on a Sunday morning how much the people love the church. You can tell by the attendance at the Sunday evening service how much the preacher's loved. But you can tell by the attendance at the Tuesday or the prayer meeting how many people love the Lord. I know that there's legitimate reasons why perhaps you cannot be there. But, brethren and sisters, what a privilege it is to be at the place of prayer and to seek the Lord together as brethren and sisters in Christ, to have that unity one with another and to be able to pray unto our Heavenly Father. We thought firstly about the declaration of this devotion, but quickly and secondly, let us consider the reason for his devotion. Why was the psalmist devoted unto his Lord? Well, turn with me again to Psalm 116 in the verse 1. And the psalmist says there, I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. And the psalmist's use of this word because shows us that he wanted to declare why he loved the Lord. It was because his Lord heard his prayers. You know, whenever we're going through a difficult period in our lives, it's always good to have somebody to have a listening ear, somebody with some spiritual wisdom that we can pour our hearts out to get wisdom and to get advice from. And the psalmist here was no different. You know, just because he was a child of God didn't mean he was immune from trials. Of course, we know that every one of us as believers have trials, but we can pray unto the Lord. And this was a psalmist's testimony because he knew and he could say, because he hath heard my voice and my supplication. Even look at verse 2 there. He says, because he, that is the Lord, he hath inclined his ear unto me. Of course, that word inclining means to turn to listen. That the Lord is making the effort there to hear the prayers of his people. And you know, that prayer line, brethren and sisters, there's no cut-off hour. There's no time when we can't seek him in prayer, no matter the day, the time of day, or the hour of the night, whatever situation we may be in, we can come to the Lord who inclines his ear unto us to pray unto him. And the psalmist knew that the Lord heard his voice, because the Lord heard and answered his prayers in the past. And as I said in my opening, or my one of my prayers earlier, you know, the reason you're in this house today is an answer to prayer. Those of you who have been sick, and we have been remembering you in prayer, that the Lord would touch you and strengthen you and encourage you, and you're out in the house of God today. Perhaps you've even prayed yourself that the Lord would bring you and strengthen you in the house of God today. Well, you're an answer to those prayers today, because God hears and he answers his prayer. Turn with me to Psalm 34. Please, Psalm 34 and the verse 15. We think about the Lord who hears and answers prayer. And notice what the psalmist David says in Psalm 34, verse 15. He says, "The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry." Isn't that wonderful, brethren and sisters? That you and I, who have been made righteous because of what Christ has done in us and for us, the eyes of the Lord are upon you and me. But also his ears are open unto our cries. Verse 17 of Psalm 34, "The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." Now, we have a God that hears and answers prayer. And the psalmist could testify to this, and many of us can testify to that today. And as we think about the reason for his devotion, it was because that the Lord heard and answered his prayer. And I thought about Esther coming into King Ahasuerus in Esther chapter 5 and the verse number 3. Of course, she came into the presence of the king and she wasn't called for. And she could have been immediately taken out and killed. But the king stretched forth his golden censer, or his golden rod, permitting her to come and to bring her petition unto the Lord, unto him, the king. And you know, the Lord holds out his scepter, bidding us to come into his throne room of grace and prayer, where we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. You see, David, or the psalmist here, could say in Psalm 116, verse 2, that the Lord hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. And you know, the Lord is interested in what's going on in our lives. The Lord isn't just a God who is disinterested and is far removed from our circumstances, brethren and sisters. Because if the Lord didn't care, he wouldn't be inclining his ear to hear our prayers, to hear our cries from the depths of our hearts. But we have a God in heaven who is interested, who cares for us. And you know, Peter tells us to cast all our care upon him, because he careth for us. The commentator John Butler said, "When you love God, you will be quick to pray. You will be quick to pray if you love the Lord." And certainly what a resource we have in prayer. And whether we pray audibly or inaudibly, we're praying to the Lord who hears. Remember Hannah, when she was in the temple, her lips moved, but there was no sound. But yet the Lord heard her earnest prayer. And that's what that word supplication in verse number 1 means. It means earnest prayer. And that's what the Lord hears. The Lord hears earnest prayer from our hearts. And let us be those that seek the Lord and bring and seek to engage in earnest prayer before him. Of course, we know the psalmist in Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2, tells us that he will lift up his eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh his help. His help cometh from the Lord. Brethren and sisters, our help cometh from the Lord. who made heaven and earth. Whatever that need is this morning, bring it before the Lord in prayer. Now, Joseph Scriven says in his hymn, take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee, take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Perhaps you've come to the house of God today and you're cumbered with a load of prayer, or cumbered with a load of care. Precious Saviour, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. We've thought secondly about the reason for his devotion, but quickly and lastly, we want to think here about the actions from his devotion. Remember how he declared he loved the Lord? And he loved the Lord because the Lord heard his voice and his supplications. Now, what was the actions that the psalmist was engaged in? Well, he was engaged very simply in praying. And that's something every one of us can do. No matter how young or how seasoned in the Christian walk we may be, not every one of us can be preachers. Not every one of us can go to the mission field, but every one of us can pray. It's something I feel that every one of us needs to be reminded of and emphasized. Perhaps you feel, I can't do this, I can't do that, but brother or sister, you can pray. You can come before the Lord, your Heavenly Father, and petition him, to praise him, to thank him, to bring whatever those needs are in your own life, in the needs of this congregation. Bring them before the Lord in prayer. As I said, that word supplication, or supplications, it signifies earnest prayer. And James tells us the effectual and fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman, it availeth much. And let us be those that pray effectually and fervently. Paul told the church at Colossae to set their affections on things above and not upon things on the earth. And certainly the psalmist, his affection was upon the Lord. His affection was upon the Lord in heaven and not upon the things of the earth. And may that be true of us, that our affections will be the things above and not on things upon the earth. But as we think about the psalmist and his actions in praying unto the Lord, his affection was upon and to the Lord. But is my affection, is our affection this morning, brethren and sisters, is it upon the things of God? Is it upon the Lord himself? Is the Lord upon the throne of our hearts today? Oh, may that be true of each and every one of us. You know, I commenced my message this morning by quoting that motto from Adoniram Judson, that the missionary, and we could extend that further to every Christian, because I believe it ought to be true of every one of us. As believers, we ought to have that life of devotion to the Lord because of all that he has done for us. For all that the Lord has done for me, the hymn writer says, I never shall cease to praise him. Even in our darkest moments, brethren and sisters, we can praise the Lord because we're saved, because God's grace is sufficient for us, and that he will not allow us to go through anything which we cannot bear, or which his grace will not be able to bring us through. The life of devotion, a devoted life, is that true of us? May it be true of every one of us. May we have that life of devotion to our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ because of what he's done for us. We love him because he first loved us. Amen. May God add his blessing to the blessing of his word to our hearts this morning for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Let us just close
and a word of prayer, and I thank you for your attention this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy word. We thank thee, O God, for the testimony of this psalmist, for his devotion to thee, his Heavenly Father and his Lord. And Lord, we do pray that every one of us could say, I love the Lord, because he hath heard my voice and attended unto my supplications. Lord, we thank thee that thou art the God that hears and answers prayer. And we pray that, Lord, thou wouldst answer prayer for every need in this congregation, every individual, every home. O Lord, come and draw graciously near. Lord, part us now in thy fear and with thy favour, and take us to our homes in safety. And be with us throughout the rest of this day, and bring us again to the house of God this evening. For it's in the Saviour's precious name we do ask and we pray all of these things. Amen.